Lord Jesus, I thank you for that grace to be people that are lost in you. Lost in the sense of you fill us, you fill every place of us. We're fully aware of you, fully immersed in you. That you're the thing that matters and you're the thing that satisfies. And by your holy power today, would you speak to every heart by the Holy Spirit and give us understanding? We want to leave here having met with you, having heard from you, and directed by you. Take a hold of us today, Lord. Thank you, you have something for us all. We praise your holy name. Thank you for your divine power that is with us. Your presence is here. Thank you, healing power is here. Lord, thank you that freedom is here. Thank you that joy is here. Thank you that in Christ, so many blessings in him. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. We're going through a bit of a series on prayer and looking at Jesus' life of prayer. And I'd like to continue that today and see where we get to. Over the last week, I don't know what day it was, but I was deep asleep and heard this most wonderful sound that I hadn't heard. It was like a sound something like this, It's our beautiful little cavoodle puppy. And you're kind of like coming to and like, what? Murphy, what are you doing? Get out. Get it. Like, there's no understanding in that moment, so just get him out as quick as possible somewhere else. What is wrong with you, dog? Now, he's a tiny dog. It wasn't a big mess. Don't worry about that. It's just not the usual alarm sound I want to hear in the morning. And even when you open the door, you're like, get out. He's like, not really. He doesn't know what's going on. I felt very rudely awakened. It was a rude shock, inconvenienced. And so, you tidy up what you need to tidy up and then usually, just go straight back to bed. But this time, there's a bit of a tug on my heart. Like the Lord saying, really quietly, what about prayer? What if you just go and sit down with me for a while? And to be honest, very torn. It's very early in the morning. You need your REM sleep. You need your deep sleep and all the sleep cycles and everything. I've been tracking sleep with this watch. And since I got the watch, my sleep has been worse, or I'm more aware of how bad my sleep has been. What do you do? Well, I was convicted. I couldn't go back to bed. Sit up and try and pray in the middle of the night as best I can. Like the, story, Samuel. And he's like, who is that? What is that? But instead, it wasn't Jonathan. It was like that. But God can use anything to get my attention. Maybe I wouldn't listen if I heard my name. Maybe I'm too dumb for that and he needs to use a vomiting, choking dog. But it's been interesting because I've got two other alarm clocks, a boy and a girl, that have also been joining in on this. There was another, I don't know how many nights ago, it was a 1 a.m. wake-up call from the little one, and which was abnormal. So deal with her, get her back down, and then the same thing. But it's like, no, it's 1 a.m., no, please, no. Okay, if it's 6 or if it's 5, maybe 4, but 1? You want me to pray now? It's a very small voice. It's just like a little, come on. What? No. Go to, Holy Spirit, go to sleep, and I'll go to sleep. Let's do this later. The bed was so inviting, but so I thought, no, I'll sit in the beanbag. I don't know how much prayer happened, but I sat there with intent because I looked at my watch the next morning. It said, well done, like 7.5 hours sleep. And I was like, this doesn't even make sense. I'm getting worse sleep in bed and I'm getting better sleep when I get up in the night and sit in the beanbag. But this tug on the heart, this invitation to be with the Lord and to respond in prayer. Now, I know we all need good sleep and I'm not asking you to give it up, but I'm kind of wanting us to start to be sensitive to sometimes the inconveniences or the things that happen are actually the Lord trying to get our attention. And I know, Maren, sorry to bring you into this. I know often you speak to Maren and she said, I had a plan today, I was going to leave the meeting at 6:30, but. And the but is the Lord didn't let her. But I know for me in the past, many a time, if I've got my plan, I've got my plan, you don't really bypass. I'm not speaking for you, just myself. But since probably looking at the life of Jesus' prayer life a bit more and having gone through this experience this week and seeing like there is a constant invitation for all of us to find him in a way so much deeper than just, Lord, I need this and I need this. He prayed at his baptism in the morning before heading to Galilee, after healing the people, before choosing his disciples, before feeding the 5,000, before walking on water, before Peter called him Christ at the Transfiguration, before teaching the Lord's Prayer, before raising Lazarus from the dead. Himself, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for all believers, even on the cross, praying, Father, forgive them. The list goes on. And if he did that, and we know from previous weeks, getting up early, staying up late, then it begs that question of the invitation for me. How does it look for me? How can I embrace prayer more? Have any of you felt this invitation to prayer lately? Yeah. Feeling the conviction to empty some things out of your life. I think it's also significant we've been looking at prayer following Brad's visit, talking about how these digital addictions and work addictions and other things basically clog up our life so there's no more room, kind of like some junk food. We went on a holiday recently. All the family went to one place and our family stayed longer, which is a little trick. If you do that, you'll probably be blessed by the other families with all their leftover food. So do that, stay longer, and then everyone goes, we can't take this home. How about you guys have it? So we have this cheese and sparkling waters and Cokes and all this stuff we never usually buy. So then it's there and you're just like enjoying it and whatever. But it reminds me of what happens in our life with things that aren't in their proper order, whether it's Netflix, whether it's the news, whether it's our work. We can binge and junk, snack on that stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's bedtime. So it's like, Lord, I thank you for today. And then you wake up. But the Lord, if Jesus, if he stayed up late and he got up early, there must be something in that for us. And whether it's early or late, or whether it's the middle of the day or some other time, that intention that he had to be with his Father, there's something in that. When we empty the other stuff out, we have more space in our hearts and minds to be more aware of him, and we're able to enjoy him more. I think that there's a lot of people here being positioned to have more of him in your life if you keep walking through these things. We all will lack spiritual hunger if we eat junk food. If we consume junk, it just kills our spiritual desire. If you watch a big movie and then you try to pray after, it's hard. You can pray, but it does something in you. It kind of pushes the spirit away. It repels. So we have to be sure that what we consume with our eyes and with our minds and be guarded, because it's the window to our soul, and let in light and push out darkness. If you are someone that had been struggling with addictions to certain things, you can be delivered, and I want to re-encourage, others have said the same thing, seek the Lord. This is the digital addictions and all that stuff. Seek the Lord to be free. He is the real food. He is the real life, not all that other stuff. Let's have a look at Matthew 6. What did Jesus say about prayer? 5-6. In Luke's version of events, someone said, you know, teach us how to pray. And Matthew's, you'd be familiar with, is talking about, you know, do not do your righteous deeds before men so that you'll be praised. And then before saying the Lord's Prayer, it says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So basically, an initial warning, don't do what you do to be seen by people. Prayer, worship, fasting, giving, any of those things, not to be seen. But when it comes to prayer, shut the door. We all need somewhere where we can go, where we can shut the door, either symbolically or actually. Shut the door, shut the gate, shut the telly, shut the iPad, shut the phone, shut out the world, shut the dog. I'm trying to get a laugh. What else can you shut? Whatever you can shut, shut it. Because there is a something in finding that secret place with the Father that he wants with you. And in teaching about prayer, this is the thing that the Lord is saying to us. You need to have a place where you shut the door and it's just me and you. I've tried praying before with my iPad and my phone and everything there. It's so distracting. One little thing, oh Lord, I'll just check this. Yep, it's cool, I can keep praying now. Don't expect to really find the depths of the Lord when you're talking to all these other people at the same time. We've got to shut the door. Get away, get quiet. And the Father in secret, find the Father in secret. And it's those that find him are rewarded. This is exactly what Jesus did himself. He went to those lonely places. He tried to find a space where there was no one else around. It's just him and the Father spending time. And the way that the Father rewards you not by riches, but by putting strength on the inside of you, being a person of love, being a person of wisdom, of understanding, feeding you with real food, giving you real strength. It's not a wonder that Jesus was looking for those moments where he could just get away and find the Lord. But if our lives are full of this other stuff, we're just not hungry for it. Or you just think, I don't have the time. But you can find it. Night, day, wherever. Shut the door. Get quiet. The place of prayer is also the place where we must forgive those that have wronged us. And if you get quiet and you shut the door, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Holy Spirit reminds you of situations where you think you were right and then you realize maybe you weren't. Or maybe you've just got to bury the hatchet and say, I was wrong. That's okay. I forgive. There's an invitation for us all to find the secret place with the Father. He's waiting for your full attention. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And in reading through John 14, I want to put this other verse beside it. So you remember that, for God so loved that he gave his only Son. And Jesus says in John 14, 31, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so the world may know that I love the Father. So we have Jesus here not only shutting the door and getting away, but Jesus who loves his Father. And so it's not just that he wants to be in that love. And part of the invitation for us all to find the secret place is to find the love of Jesus. It just really sang out to me that for God so loved that he gave his Son. So God loved the world that he gave his only Son, and Jesus so loved the Father so the world would know. And the obedience that Jesus is speaking about, that he did everything that he commanded, how much do you think came from his secret place in those quiet times? Because when you read the word command, think the word instruct. Command's quite strong, and so it's not always that. You know, what do God's commands sound like?
Go and do this now.
Maybe. If he wants to put the wind up you, he can. But he can also put the wind up you by just going, like a noise or just a sense. He doesn't have to raise his voice at all. Of course, his word commands us things to do. We can read it. It's the Lord. But often it's that still small voice, it's a quiet instruction, it's very quiet, clear, direct within you. These are the kinds of things that he also, this is how he commands us. It's not necessarily big, loud thing. He can just put it in your spirit. Still small voice, a thought. I know sometimes, like last Sunday, I won't exactly tell you what happened, but I had the tiniest little thought of a thing and it ended up to be confirmed in something in the meeting. But you would not have taken that thought as anything at first. But the more you try and listen to that voice, the quicker you get it going, oh, actually, I think that's the Lord. He's okay with coming humble and lowly and quiet. He doesn't come with fanfare. The other way that he gives you commands is sometimes he just puts you in a situation. So I've been doing a few Woolies orders lately because Cherie's been doing better things. And I had a situation where for the summit on the Saturday, apparently with Woolworths, you've got to order your bread to be delivered in the afternoon because in the morning, it's not available. So I had bread delivered Saturday afternoon for the Sunday barbecue. And Saturday, you know, mid-morning sometime, I jump on the computer and it goes, order, canceled. I'm like, what? It's canceled. It had a big red thing, said canceled. So that means I go look at that order and I have to reorder all the milk and the other stuff that was in there. And then I have to drive to Woolworths and manually go and pick all that bread for the barbecue, because otherwise I'm going to get fired because there's no bread at the Summit barbecue. So I bolt over to Woolworths and I'm like getting all the bread, and it's like a real inconvenience. And I got my sheet of paper and I'm like, I need, you know, like how many, 20 loaves of buns and this many, you know, it's, yeah, there's lots. And there wasn't enough on the shelf. So I'm like, excuse me, and talk to a lady. And I said, I got this order and, you know, it's just, it's gone. And she's like, oh, it's out the back. It's ready to go. And I was like, it says canceled. And I look up on my phone, it's not there. She's like, it's ready to go. I was like, okay. And then I look over and a guy catches my eye that, I don't know, before I was with church, I was working on a big event and he was in the same precinct as me. And so I'd worked with him for some time and I went over and he's like a manager or something. And I was like, oh yeah, blah, 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 just order, blah, you know, issues. And he's like, what do you do now? I said, oh, I work for a church. And he's like, church? Oh, my parents were missionaries. And I was like, ah, interesting. He's like, I haven't been to church for ages, but I pray. He's like, and we just had this chat, and then since then had a few messages, and he's asking me, you know, what church should I go to? He's from a town near here. And then I get back and sit at the computer and I cancel the new order I made, and then I get three texts, because I actually had three orders coming that day. Bing, bing, bing. And the third one was the order that was so-called cancelled, came back in. So what if the unspoken command for God for my life at that moment was, mess up the Woolies order, because I need you to go to Woolies at Stockland to have a conversation with a guy that I've been trying to get to church for some time whose parents are missionaries, just to have a conversation. So sometimes the inconvenience or the command is not a loud voice, sometimes it's just a situation. So next time you're inconvenienced, I was a little bit upset that I had to go over and redo this whole this stuff. I had it all planned, it was all going to work. But for us, the inconveniences also, you just don't know what the Lord is doing and he just needs you. And if he said to you in your quiet time, Jonathan, I need you to go to Allen's, Stockland, Woolworths and await further instructions, I'd probably go, ah, that's a silly thought. So he just has to like go shh, shh, and drop you in it. But maybe we'll pray more and it'll be like Acts and you'll hear, go to this person on this street. Anyways, we'll work towards it. What is available to us is clear instruction, clearer guidance, it's not something necessarily too that you have to bring all this stuff in, but finding a place of rest where you just be. Because the other part of that verse was, so that the world may know that I love the Father. All of us need to know, all of us need to experience the love of the Lord, to experience love, to experience and to know that acceptance and that place where you don't have to do anything, you don't have to bring anything. And I think too often it's easy to get focused in our prayer times with having a list. Now, side note, you need the list, you need the faith, you need to be looking for things to answer. But you also need to sit with the Lord and shut the door and find his love. So whether it's just sitting, whether it's just listening, whether it's just being still and quiet, whether it's just saying the Lord's Prayer, our Father, whether it's just being slower, bringing a scripture and just reading it and sitting and looking for his guidance. John 15:7-12, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. So with abiding and finding that solitude and oneness with him, he's saying ask. But I find myself doing a lot more asking than abiding. And it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. And he wants to glorify his Father through us. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He wants us to be fruitful. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As you read through, like John 14:15-17, Jesus is going backwards and forwards. I'm in my Father. My Father's in me. I'm in you. And I feel, like it's just leading us to this place of shutting the door and find that quietness with him. I go on. John 17:22-23, the glory that you have given me, this is Jesus speaking to the Father in his high priestly prayer, the glory that you have given me, I've given to them, it's us, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. We've often spoken of how this is talking of the body of Christ being one, but what I also want to put beside that is it's each one of you one with the Father. That Jesus prayed that you would be one with the Father, just like he's one with the Father. That same connection, that same relationship, that same oneness, that same feeling where he knew he had to get away and get quiet, that's the invitation for all of us, to get away from the distractions of life and just find him. And that's there. The invitation to be one with the Father and the Son. Would the worship team return? John said something last week, something very profound, that something along these lines, that the most valuable thing in your life and mine is the slow and steady day by day walk with Jesus so you might become something. It's not trying to read as much Bible as you can compared to just, I'm just going to read one bit right now and just reflect, let the Holy Spirit speak. Whatever it is, don't let me put any boxes in anything, but each of us have a journey to go with the Lord, and there's an invitation for us. What do you need to do? I'm encouraging each of you to find a time to shut the door. And when you shut the door, find his love. However that is. If it's reading a psalm or singing a song or praying or not praying, but find time where you let him love you because he wants to be one with you. That there's as much desire on his side for you to join him, there's more. I think so often we think sometimes, oh, I don't feel Like we're too inward focused. I don't feel like it. I feel dry. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. His heart for you is so much more, wants you so much more to be with him if you would but just come and sit. Draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. And you don't even have to bring a big prayer list or anything. Please have one. But sometimes you just got to sit and find his love. So the main point I think I wanted to get to today was Jesus prayed because he loved. His love for the Father meant he had to shut the door and find him. And the love that the Father has for you and the Holy Spirit has for you is waiting for you to respond in prayer and finding him. Lord Jesus, thank you for your example to us. And for how the Holy Spirit will translate to our hearts what you once said today. I thank you for your great love for your Father. I thank you for your great love for all people because you said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The way you healed, the way that you looked at that man and loved him. I pray that your hand would be upon us all to be people of prayer, to be people that have that strength that comes from the quiet times in secret, to be like David who defeated the lion and the bear when no one knew. And he said, this giant will be just like the lion and the bear. He had no doubts in his mind. I thank you for the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. Give us all grace to hear your call. Give us grace to find you. Give us grace to give up things that clog up our lives. Holy Spirit, come upon us all. I want to give you all a moment just to be still and quiet in the presence of the Lord, and we'll just let him speak to you and encourage you this week to find that place of solitude and keep looking to the Lord. Give you a moment now. If perhaps there's something on your heart or mind right now, some offense, some issue, some person, some problem, would you forgive? Would you forgive them their sins? I'd like to pray for anyone that has any need in the body, because wherever the Lord is, there is healing. And so if that's you in this moment, I just encourage you to stand. If you have something that you want to believe the Lord for healing, Lord Jesus, you commanded, you instructed your disciples to heal the sick. I thank you that by your stripes we are healed, that you were wounded for our sicknesses and our infirmities, that we remember the Lord and all of his benefits. He heals and he saves. And on behalf of us all, I release healing power to your people this morning, that every body, every organ, every part of the body would be healed. Lord Jesus, release healing power to your people this day. Thank you for healings. Thank you for deliverances. Thank you that in the name of Jesus, eyes are opened, ears are opened. People walk, deaf can hear. Lord, I think of Marie with this asthma and coughs. We say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Lord, set her free. And others, I thank you, Lord, that healing power is in the name of Jesus. And may you spring up many from amongst us that heal the sick. You've commanded us to go out and heal. Lord, let your people be rich with your gifts this day. Pour out your Spirit amongst us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Would you give the Lord a clap? Would you get happy? We thank you, Lord.